Hello and welcome back to another exciting episode of Anime Tour Bus. It's me, your non-expert Eric, and who's that sitting right next to me? Well, that's you, listener. Listener, why do you have that on? Whatever costume what is that? Oh, that's neat. It's because you're trying to recall your childhood dream. That's pretty interesting. What was your child? Oh, was that? Oh, that's fun. Metzger, she sits at the front of the bus. She is our anime expert. I'm, of course, our non-expert Eric. And, this is an anime tour bus that ventures through the anime world and stuff like that. And we're talking about our childhood dreams. I, for a long period of time, wanted to be a pastor and then eventually shifted that to a firefighter, then a surgeon, then a pilot. I went through so many different ones, but the original one was that I wanted to be a pastor. And it's mostly because I'm a slut for attention. Metzger, what was your childhood dream?
I don't remember.
Yeah. But you had a week to think about it. Oh, no. I remember yours.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was, what do you call them? The people who do funerals.
That wasn't a childhood dream.
No. But that's as close as we can get, right? Like, that's legit.
I was going to go into mortuary science.
Yeah. That's fun.
But that's not saying much, because for a little while I also thought I might want to go into parapsychology. So either way, this week we're talking about Zom 100, because Juju's still on a little bit of a break. If I had to give you a synopsis, the synopsis would be, you're a lot less likely to encounter a zombie shark if you don't go to the aquarium.
I have thrown many punches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, more than the usual number of punches.
Mm-hmm.
I have punched people. I have punched things.
I'm going to go out there and say that I have thrown few punches, but all of them have mattered.
Oh, not all of mine have mattered. Many of them were practiced for the times it would matter. I would actually say most of mine did not matter.
All of mine landed and did matter.
That's an impress. If you have 100% punch rate,
100% batting average.
Oh, but with punches.
But with punches.
Yeah.
Me and my opponent learned at the same time, arguably the hard way, that when you punch someone in the solar plexus, there's a chance they'll pass out.
I once elbowed a person in the solar plexus, and that person thought they were going to die. And this honestly, I didn't know enough. I thought they might die too. I thought I was a murderer for a second. I was concerned. Metzger, but like, hear me out on this. Add a battery?
Yeah. I did have a moment where I had to realize that this was just for fun.
Yeah.
It didn't have to make sense. It was just for fun.
Yeah, I had to pull myself away.
And remember, hey guys.
Guys, suspended disbelief.
So in this episode of Zom 100, Akira wakes up and he has a dream of himself as a child saving another kid from some high school or middle schoolers by biting them. I thought we were watching the wrong anime for a second when it opened to that. I was like, I think we clicked on the wrong one, but nope. Then it said Akira, and I was like, oh, it is our dude, in fact. He wakes up, and he realizes that is his childhood dream. It is to save people. He wants to be a hero. While helping Kensho achieve one of his top 100 things to do before becoming a zombie, and that is dyeing his hair. Which, that seems like a weird one. Maybe Kensho's like ramping up. Do you think that? Do you think that like our best friend is ramping? Akira is kind of like all over the place. Like the data points are everywhere.
Akira stays at a solid 90% and only just raises to 110. But for sure, there is an exponential curve occurring with our anti-never nude. I don't know how to say. If you say never nude and then you put that in parentheses and put a negative out in front of it, that's what he is.
You understand that it's just called a nudist, right?
There seems like a more intensity aspect to it. Like a nudist doesn't show me their butthole while hanging from a vent.
They don't not do that.
I feel like they're usually just in, like, I don't know, like national parks and stuff like that. Just kind of walking around, like, or like at a beach in Europe somewhere and things like
that. You don't think that if there were a zombie apocalypse, that the nudist would be like, finally, society has been dismantled and I can be free without judgment?
Think that the arch on his back and the posterior tilt in his hips say different things about his desire to flash his butthole at a shark.
I do think that he could have conveyed the same message to the shark with his clothes still on.
Absolutely.
But the guy does literally have one bit. And like, there's one thing he's good at, and it's getting naked.
So, listener, just to give kind of more in-depth thing, we decided to make a trip to the aquarium because we...
Akira wants to become a superhero, and he's done some research.
And so he's done some research, and he says, I know what I need to do is to go to the aquarium.
I did realize that he was going for a wetsuit and was like, dude, you could have gotten one of those at literally any sporting goods store. Why did you have to go to the aquarium?
I think it was part of the adventure, right? Like,
I'm glad that he specified. Well, he wasn't going for a normal wetsuit. He was going for a shark suit.
Yeah.
Where they're woven metal, you only receive blunt force trauma from the shark that tries to eat you.
Now, this is something I've said about motorcycles before, that like motorcycles, that the clothes that you wear, they protect you from the road rash, but not the blunt force trauma. Being squeezed between two 2,000 pound vehicles is not a good time.
It's gonna pop you like a grape.
Yeah, but luckily my suit's good. No, that's, you're gonna explode. And that's not good. Yeah.
But it's about risk
mitigation.
Yes. So like if you could mitigate the damage caused by the pavement, why wouldn't you? There is the chance that you could be squished like a gusher in between two cars. But just because that chance exists doesn't mean that you shouldn't work to mitigate you being degloved on pavement.
God damn. Like your whole body being degloved. That's gross. Degloving is a fear of mine. I don't ever want to wear a ring for that exact reason because I've seen too many of those videos.
Eric, I will inform you that you will eventually deglove.
I think I might puke in this moment.
It's a normal part of decomposition.
That's different, and I intend to be burned on the battlefield so that the ghouls can't eat my body.
Okay, so on the way to they make it to the aquarium.
Okay, we're just gonna accept that the ghouls exist in this world. Okay.
On the way to we make it to the aquarium, we get our shark suit. But conveniently enough, there's a bus also trying to get to the harbor. It's got a bunch of survivors on it. And of course, we don't do bite checks. You know what? I can deal with zombie shark. I can deal with punching him while holding some D batteries. And that being enough to knock him flat for a little bit. But the fact that we've been doing the zombie apocalypse for at least a week. And we're not doing bite checks on strangers before we let them on our bus. I got a problem with that.
And it was so obvious, right? Like, it was clearly he was bleeding on the floor.
It seems then, like, this infection goes really fast, too.
Yeah.
It might be, like you said, like, the closer it is to the brain or the heart, the faster. But, like, that was his forearm. Like, other dude in the shopping mall, that was on his ankle. Like, and it looked pretty mild. But this guy, yeah, there's just, like, blood everywhere. And you're not like, hey, dude, whose blood is that? Oh, I'm just going to try, not yours? Cool. That sounds believable.
So Last of Us gave us a clear timeline. Bite on the ankle is 3 days. Bite on the forearm is, like, I think, like, 48 hours or something like that. Or, I don't know, some. I think 12 hours was the thing that they did. Bite on the neck is 3 minutes. Like, and so it's an escalating scale upwards towards the cerebral spinal fluid and all that juicy goodness, right? This seems to be nearly instant and explosive, if I'm to say the right word. It's buck wild. So anyways, we see our girl, our runner girl?
Risk analyst.
Our risk analyst. Long story short, we save her. We become the hero. And she says, you know, being a hero is fucking high risk, right, you big, big dummy?
Yeah, she's still on this thing. She's like, you know, I think about that piece of mochi that I didn't get way more often than I should, but I still think that you're an idiot for putting on this suit and saving strangers, and that includes me. I do like that she stands by that. She stands by the fact she's like, listen, I understand that you technically saved me.
That was Metzger moment I've ever seen of an anime character.
But you're still an idiot. You should have let me die.
You big dummy. And she even's like, you know, people like with mental health disorders are like doing this because they have like a small, and she prattles on, and our comedian boy does not like that.
Kensho takes this very personally.
But what ends up coming out of it, is, again, a need to save just her. And he goes back and he's like, as she's accepting death via zombie shark, which I think it's interesting that
that is more of the Metzger move to be like, well, if I had to become a zombie, if I had to die, at least it was by a sea creature that's being propelled by three sets of human zombie legs, because that's how they make that make sense.
Absolute buck wild insane.
But this shark ate zombies, became a zombie, and then as it's rotting and decaying, the zombie legs pop out, and these things are moving like a Chinese lion in a parade.
And the shark can direct it when it, like, its eyes turn red and it focuses on a target. It is insane in the most fun way. And she's kind of sitting in that W shape that we often see in anime. And in comes our boy, punches a shark, saves the day. They work together. They figure out something about shark noses being sensitive to electrical energy, whatever. Punches it with a battery. I've never thought about doing 1d4 electric damage with my fists. And I just became a reverend so I could do more holy damage, but this isn't. That's the different.
It's amplified by the fact that he's standing in a puddle. Because, like, the whole floor also lights up.
And it doesn't kill him. Like, that amount of arcing electricity is...
It's because of the shark suit.
I'm sorry, you're right. I'm dumb.
Duh.
So with that, he saves the day, punches a shark, defeats a shark, and gets the girl's number, and decides to leave Tokyo entirely?
Well, they did reference his parents earlier on, like, he wants to be, that was one of the things that he wanted early on in the list, was to go back home and see his family.
Yeah.
So, the fact that they're checking in, and they can check the gram, and see that some remote villages were able to like fortress their way to safety, then it's like, oh, well, let's go do that. It's such a secluded area that arguably it shouldn't be too dangerous to get to. But yeah, I do really like how he straight up tells her, she chastises him for being an idiot and saving strangers yet again. And he goes, but miss, that I still don't know your name because you're a huge bitch. You're important to me.
And that's how you get the girl. She blushes and then it's like...
Oh, did you see the look Kincho gave him?
No. I missed that. I was focused on her reaction. What did he do?
So at the end, like when she does, when she is like, here, you can have my number. He's like, whoa. And Kincho's like, hey, my dude.
My boy.
That's how we do it.
That's what we do. And then they ride away on the motorcycle with the intent of leaving Tokyo to go see his family. So he's got a girl's number. That rules. And I knew something would happen with her. There's apparently, from the intro, some samurai girl that we'll get to see. But we have, with those four, the main characters of this.
Spoiler on the samurai girl?
No, I don't want the spoilers yet.
Smaller? Okay.
No spoilers. I'm not ready. Emotionally, kind of not there. And you know what I'm also not there for, Metzger?
What's that?
The end of this episode of our podcast. We don't have another one to talk about. We love you, listener. Thanks for hanging out with us. Check us out on Anime Tour Bus on Instagram, anime_bus on Twitter, and meyouandweeboo.wordpress.com. Also check out Science Snacks for your latest and greatest in science. And yeah, anything else to add, Metzi?
I do have a suggestion for next week.
Oh, sure. What's up?
If I don't think we'll have Juju again next week, I would like to have you watch the first episode of a different anime that came out this season, just to see how you feel about its flavor.
I dip my tongue in some anime juice. That's a weird... I tried.
It's called Undead Murder Farce.
Okay.
The best way I can describe this is it's a detective sort of anime. But it's not like the detective is already dead, so you don't have to worry about
that. I got so worried in that moment.
But I'm pretty sure whoever the author is must have read a whole bunch of English classics in college, and now that's everybody else's problem. Because we're solving monster mysteries. Like, we're solving mysteries for vampires. The detective is just a woman's head in a cage. It's like what's the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
I knew that reference was coming somehow. I think I saw in the future. I feel like I blacked out a little bit.
Did you maybe drop a battery in a puddle?
I think I ate a battery, honestly. And its juice has powered me. Just like you would get power from checking out our socials and Science Snacks. Hey, listener, thanks for hanging out with us. I hope that you had a great time, and as we pull up to the stop, I hope that you get on the bus next week. But until then,
bye!